He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a bad businessman. He can't spell. He doesn't read. He doesn't listen. I mean, I could go on.
Vote, damn it!
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we're going to welcome back the great Dr. G for this month's Tales from the Tale. Today's topic, how often should you use an enema? That and much more on the second half of the show. My name is Tom, and as always, I do this show with my amazing co-host, well, at least the only one in studio, starting with...
And ending with...
And ending with...
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And welcome you all to...
The Dish!
We're here. We are on the eve of Election Day. That is tomorrow, of course, November 3rd. We are obviously biting our nails.
Yeah,
we are clutching our pearls, not sleeping, heart palpitating, mm-hmm. doing all of those things that we normally do when we know that change needs to come, when our life literally depends on it. And we're just, I'm beside myself, right? Like, I'm seeing all of the media and everything that's happening and people talking about, you know, the numbers are looking good. Mm-hmm. But we all know what happened in 2016.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I can't really say for sure that I'm confident where we stand as a party right now on whether or not Biden is going to actually run this through and win the election.
Yeah, I mean, I said to you earlier, like, right. I don't want to watch the news anymore because, honestly, I don't want to get my hopes up. Like,
right.
I'm so nervous about being hopeful like I was in 2016, and now, I don't know, I'm freaking out.
and with reason, right? So we're starting to see a lot of things happening, right? And we'll get to our weekends in a minute, but this is important. So we're starting to see a lot of things happening. And these are things that typically happen when someone knows or feels that they don't have a path to something, right? And so you're starting to see Trump supporters, for example, blocking highways. There was an instance in Texas where the Biden-Harris campaign was mm-hmm. driving and all of the Trump supporters there lined up on I-35, waited for that bus, and almost ran it off the road, right? And they're doing these tactics, these intimidating tactics, because in a sense, I feel that they know that they have to worry.
I feel like it's coming from Donald Trump.
Of course. I mean, when you think about what the man tweets, when you think mm-hmm. about what the man talks about, how he reacts to news, like everything is fake news or, you know, they're good people or all of these things. Think about, for example, what happened in the state of Michigan, where the governor herself there was this elaborate plan to kidnap the governor, try her for high treason and to kill her. Right. And he goes and he still perpetuates this idea on Twitter that he should that his supporters should really hold her accountable for her lack of support of him, I suppose, which to me is completely asinine and crazy. And then you start seeing things like, for example, there was an incident in New York. Between New York and New Jersey, I believe it's the bridge that goes over Tarrytown into some town in New Jersey, and where Trump supporters completely blocked off the road, right?
Meanwhile, BLM,
right?
When they shut down the highways, Trump supporters were through the roof, so pissed off.
Right. Let's run them over and blah, blah, blah. And people like that should get run over. Well, let me tell you.
And that was for fucking human rights. Like, come the fuck on.
Not even for human rights. I mean, it was so much more. So think about the fact that black men are dying at a proportionate rate that really is alarming at the hands of police officers. That is what they were advocating for. That is what they are actually marching for. These assholes are marching for someone who, as you so eloquently noted in our opening, opener, lies, cheats, is a horrible businessman, has filed bankruptcy God knows how many times, can't spell, can't speak, and all he does is sow hate and, you know, division. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. And so all I can say is this. Tomorrow's election day. It will happen. It will be behind us sooner than later. We have less than, I would say, a good 36 hours before the polls close, and we start seeing results from, for example, one of the first states that you – well, actually, the first states that you're going to see results on are the Eastern Seaboard, all the states that close their polling places at 8 p.m.
And we'll be here.
Right. We will be here. But Florida – is a very interesting dynamic, because here's what's happening in Florida. They have very high turnout for early voting. But what Florida does that a lot of other states don't is they start counting their early votes 2 days before, right? And so come 8 p.m. on the Eastern Seaboard, Eastern Standard Time, on election night, you will see results in Florida, right? And so those results will then give us a picture of where we stand. And just so that we know, Biden doesn't need to win Florida to have a path to 270.
No.
But it would be incredibly helpful if he did, because it would give us an indication early on whether or not we're on the right path, right? If he doesn't win Florida, he would need to win Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio. He would have to have Wisconsin. And so
Montana?
No, Montana. We were talking about that earlier, but that was in a different context. He would need to have those battleground states in order to have a feasible path to 270. And it's looking good when you talk about polling. But again, we want to go back and emphasize polling 2016.
No.
We learned our lesson. And so until this is in the bag, we don't know.
Yeah, don't believe the polls. Go out and vote.
But anyway, enough about voting. Well, not enough. Vote. Go out and vote. But today's episode is going to be about something, other things. We have the amazing Dr. G joining us on the second half of the show. We'll leave all the voting stuff for tomorrow. We're going to be doing a special for the election episode, which we have done now for the past 5 years. Every other year we do an election episode when we have the midterms and when we have the general. And so that'll be for tomorrow. We have other things that we want to talk about today. But before we do that, Nick, my darling, how are you?
I'm great.
You're great.
Yeah.
So we know that you're feeling anxious, right?
Yeah.
I'm feeling anxious, but how was your week overall?
Overall, pretty good. I mean, I haven't been sleeping well because of the election and money and jobs and work and all that stuff, but like, whatever. Doesn't matter. But this weekend was so much fun. I went to...
Explain.
So I went to Paul's sister's house, and we took her kids out trick-or-treating, and they were so cute. We had Captain America, we had Spider-Man, I was Star-Lord, Paul was Rocket, Jess was Gamora, and Lou was Thor.
Thor, right.
And it, like, we looked so good.
No, so you sent a picture over, and I was like, oh my God, they do. They do absolutely look amazing. And it's so cute, right? Because you were showing me a video of them. They went trick-or-treating in their little, like, electric-powered vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So I, unfortunately, did not, you know, give out candy. And we didn't get anybody in our neighborhood.
No, it was really slow. There weren't a lot of kids out. But, like, the people that were doing it right. They had, like, you know, the long arms that you used to like pick up poop and stuff.
The pooper scooper.
Exactly. They were using it to pick up candy and put it in kids' bags. Or people had tables at the end of the driveway. Or some people had these chutes. They were like putting candy in and you had to put the bag underneath.
Right.
It was cute to watch them try to catch the candy when it all fell out. But
right. So here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you, baby. It's been a while.
I know.
So we didn't do Halloween right this year. Some people did, right? But we couldn't, right? We are in the middle of a pandemic. We're in the middle of something that really is just unprecedented. Mm-hmm. And so if by next year we are in a better place. We owe our children a huge Halloween celebration. And I believe it's going to fall on Sunday next year, right? Because it's Saturday this year, so next year will be Sunday. Actually, I'm going to go verify that shit right now. We're going to look at the calendar, and we're going to go, let's see here. 2021, October 31st will be on a Sunday. And so therefore, I think I'm going to go all out next year. If we are at a good place with COVID, mm-hmm. I'm definitely going all out next year. Because I felt really horrible. I didn't have anybody come to my door, but only because I know that parents here, at least in Connecticut, were making the right decision in not really perpetuating the inevitable crep in cases that are happening that will eventually lead us to another shutdown.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to shut down again.
So, children of America, we owe you. 2021 is coming around the corner, and hopefully if we all do what we need to do, we got you. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna get some full-size candy bars. How's about that?
Oh, I'm gonna come by then.
No, you're not a child. You can't have any. So, but that's what I'm going to do. That's what I think we should do. I think that we all are, you know, it's been tough. It's been tough not only on adults, but imagine kids, right? Like so we have a sister podcast, the Breezy Moms podcast, mm-hmm. hosted by Candace Dorman, which is also available on Digital Stream Radio. You guys should go check it out. I co-host with her she hosts, but I just sort of kind of like, you know, interrupt her all the time. That's what I'm good for. But she's amazing. And we talked about this. We talked about, you know, like we don't realize in the midst of all of this pandemic and how this affects us as adults, how that trickles down to the kids, right? And mm-hmm. their inability to be able to socialize or go outside and play with friends and school in that experience. And it's been very tough. And I think that once we get through this, we owe these kids something huge.
Yeah, and somebody said something to me earlier today about their kids and the fact that the reality is, like, when you're a child, you don't remember a lot of stuff, right? But for some reason, I have a huge feeling that kids are going to remember the year of the shutdown.
Right.
Because how crazy has it been? I mean, they've been stuck in the house with their parents. They're not allowed to go to school. Like, it's been so hard for them.
Right.
And the parents. So the parents are going crazy.
Right.
The kids are going crazy. I mean, literally, like, when I was a kid and I went trick-or-treating, I had a pillowcase full of candy.
I used to take a little wagon with me and just load my pillowcases.
Those two kids had like a little bag,
right?
Not much in it. I mean, mom and dad, of course, you know, got other stuff and like put it in the bag. But like, it's candy used to last like 6 months.
Right. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see how this affects children. And as parents and as adults, we know that we're doing it. We have to break their hearts, but we're doing it because mm-hmm. it's for their own good and for ours and for the sake of society, right?
I actually have a really cute photo of the kids, which I will not show to the listeners. But when we got back to the house, we were sitting outside with, you know, the table at the end of the driveway so people could come up and get the candy, but they wanted to be a part of it, so they had to put on their masks. Like, not their actual, like, Halloween ones, but, like, they were so cute in their little masks.
So I will tell you, in my experience, any child that I've seen, kids are good with masks.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. They know what to do. And they're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And it really warms my heart, and it also gives me hope for the future generation, because I think the people that are really like fucking this up for the rest of the population are
Karen
adults.
And Ken.
Yeah, Karen and Ken, and those adults who think that, you know, we're depriving them of their liberties when all we're trying to do is, as a society, find a way to stay safe and healthy so that eventually we can open up again.
Yeah, no,
in full force.
Yeah.
But they're adorable. We owe you next year. If all is well, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick, you have a story for us?
No, you have one.
I do. Okay, so listen, guys, good news. So one of the amazing things about people coming together in societies doing what they need to be doing is that you get to do things that typically other people don't do. So Taiwan actually took to the streets with Pride in Taipei on Saturday, this past Saturday, with crowds estimating over 130,000 people. And the reason why they did that is because in the city, in Taiwan, in the city of Taipei, there have been no positive COVID cases in well over 200 days. So, President, I'm going to fuck this up, and that's okay. And I'm going
to... Tsai Ing-wen?
Tsai Ing-wen, re-elected to a second term last January, urged the country via social media on Saturday to embrace love, tolerance, and a better Taiwan. The mingling went ahead after 200 days in a row without a single recorded local infection, thanks to Taiwan's early 2020 response that saw the arrival rival China and other regions tested and quarantined, limiting Taiwan's toll to 7 deaths total.
I think that that is the most important part about the article, because we have a president right now saying it's not a big deal.
Right.
Hosting rallies where right. people are not wearing masks mm-hmm. and they're not in cars, right. they're not social distancing. Like, that is why they actually were able to have a Pride celebration, because their president did it right.
And they did what they were supposed to
Correct.
Do.
Yeah.
And as a community, so here's the thing. So the Asian community has always been one of those communities that understand the importance of taking care of each other and how impactful these viruses are, right? The concept of wearing a mask for them is second nature. Mm-hmm. And for us, we're just like, oh no, we shouldn't wear this. Oh, why can't you let me in the store because I don't have a mask on, bitch? Because I'm trying to protect not only you, but everybody else. But this is why they were able to do this. And so for me, this is amazing to be able to see that, you know, like, for example, drag queens wore red banquet dresses on Saturday, parading, and vowed to attend all of my friends' weddings as the rallies moved through Taipei, which next year is due to host Asia's Gay Games. So on top of that, you know, when you think about Taiwan, they were one of the first Asian nations to actually pass marriage equality.
Yeah.
So this is a big deal for them. And like you said, they were able to do this because they came together as a cohesive peoples and did what they needed to do. And if we do that, we could soon start seeing an opportunity for us to go to race car games and concerts and all of these other things. Well, I'm just saying, you know, those are the people that are upset the most, you know,
Yeah.
And do all of these other social gatherings that will allow us to actually really enjoy ourselves because we knew that we did the work. Right. And so it just makes me happy to see that, you know, a country that for so long, the LGBTQ plus community was so oppressed and suppressed, and to see marriage equality pass and to see them celebrate Pride and to have their president support it is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. But it also makes us realize that that could happen here.
Right.
If we actually did what we're supposed to
right.
do. And no one. Okay, so. Not no one, but people aren't doing that. I mean, I went to the gas station to get gas. And I had to deal with a Ken today.
Right.
Like, why are you coming in here with no mask?
Right.
Why?
And it happens all the time. You know, like when
we're
I go down to...
We're spiking in Connecticut. We're spiking all over the U.S.
Right.
And you're walking around without a goddamn mask.
So over 100,000 people are being infected every day in the U.S. now. Those numbers are alarming. And they're higher than they were when we first started.
We had April. A conversation about going virtual again, and I don't want to do that.
Right. So, but, you know, there's a possibility that we might have to. We might have to go virtual and have everyone, you know, come in and do it that way again. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to do that. I enjoy having my friends here and being able to, well, sometimes, but, you know, and be able to do that. It's just, I don't know, it's just... You know, congratulations, Taiwan. Thank you for doing it right. And also thank you for supporting the LGBT community, because, of course, that is very important. And we feel that this type of news is some of the things that I want to start hearing about, you know, going forward. It's beautiful. It's amazing.
I don't want to hear any more about, like, our rights being taken away or Trump winning, or negative bullshit around the country, or Chechnya, or I'm done.
Right.
I am done.
Right. But, you know that's going to happen.
I know.
And we'll be here to talk about it and actually give you, you know, give you our two cents on how we feel about things and how that impacts our community. So one more story before we go to break, of course. Oh, God.
What?
God, I cannot. So Uber Eats ads?
Yeah. So
let's talk about this.
Yeah, so everybody loves Queer Eye on the show.
That's right.
Including myself, obsessed with it. So Jonathan Van Ness was in a Uber Eats ad, and 1 million moms mocked the video.
These bitches.
Who need to be shut the fuck down.
Seriously, like, that's a hate group, in my point. So if you guys don't know who Jonathan Van Ness is, of course, he's one of the cast members from Queer Eye from the Straight Guy. Is that right? Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
Just Queer Eye.
Queer Eye. It's for Queer Eye. Jonathan Van Ness is also an out HIV-positive member of society who has been doing amazing work in bringing awareness to those folks who live with HIV every day. Mm-hmm. And he does – he's fantastic. I mean, the man is, one, stylish as hell, love his hair, his goatee is gold, and cuteness all around. And to have a group of women – mock him for doing an ad for a company like Uber Eats.
So they were mocking him because he literally dressed up in a leotard.
Right.
And did, you know, what's her name? Simone?
Simone Biles?
Yes. Like,
she's the Olympic gold. Olympic gold winner.
They were both ordering from Uber Eats, and Simone was like getting ready to do like her flips, and then he came out in the same leotard. And did the flip, and then they went at him for being non-binary and for wearing a leotard and dressing like...
It's freaking clothing. So, I mean, did you not get offended when Darth... Who was it? Oh, God. The actor from Star Trek. Captain Picard. And freaking Luke Skywalker did a commercial for Uber Eats, and he was like, oh, watch it. Your daddy's not here to save you. Mm-hmm. And he goes like, I am my daddy. And he goes like, wait, what? You didn't see that commercial?
No.
Yeah, it's very disturbing in a way, like for him to say, I am my daddy. I'm like, okay, whatever. So those are the kind of commercials that we're talking about here. And so this was the next iteration, obviously having Jonathan Van Ness on it.
Yeah, but the fact is, like, him being on it, whether it's about Uber Eats or not, which Uber Eats, thank you, like, good job. Applause. But, like, anybody who saw that, any kid, any boy, girl for that matter, who wants to wear something else or identifies as non-binary, like, that is such a powerful moment for them.
Right.
And the fact that this fucking hate group, 1 million moms, keeps going after stupid shit like this because they're afraid for their kids, like, it makes no sense. What they're doing is creating an environment where their kids don't want to express who they truly are to their mothers.
And you know what the sad thing is that those children, the majority of them grow up to be super, super, super accepting kids and then have to sit there and look at their mothers in a shameful way. Mm-hmm. And to all you moms out there who are raising children to be bigoted and you're trying to instill bigoted, you know, morals in your children, watch, be careful what you do, because, you know, in the end, you have to rely on these kids when you can't wipe your ass anymore to take care of you. And if you're an evil person and these kids growing up in today's society don't agree with what you are, mm-hmm. you might end up having to hire someone very expensive to wipe that ass for you when your child doesn't want to do it.
But I also think it's important to note, right, that 1 million moms that are not supportive, there are millions and millions and millions of mothers that are supportive. That's so right. That group needs to, like, calm the fuck down before we get the millions of moms come back at them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Mama Kim, retweet this and be like, I'm one of the 1 million moms that actually fucking cares about my kid.
Right. Mama Dragons. And when you think about Linda Stay and all these
Dragon
other amazing
dads.
And Dragon Dads. Daddy Dragons. And all of these amazing groups that are doing great advocacy work for promoting really amazing things that parents should support their kids regardless if they're LGBTQ or not. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So horrible for these, you know, horrible women that are trying to do this. And applauses for Uber and Uber Eats for their amazing work and trying to show diversity in their ads. And for all of
and
you
Jonathan ads. Jonathan Van Ness for nailing that, like, flip. Like, what?
Hello.
We'll put the video up.
Yeah, we should.
What the fuck? I was like, yeah. How did he do that?
So also, there were a lot of really amazing videos for the story that I talked about that's available on TylerRoad.com. I'll post the story. We'll put the actual story on tonight's post. You can click on it. Watch all the videos. It gives me all the feels. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel all happy and amazing. And
at the end of the video, though, Simone was like, is that my leotard? And he's like, no.
No, it's mine.
Yes.
Oh?
She's like, you can keep it.
Oh. She's like, I don't want it.
I don't want it no more.
All right. Well, listen, guys, we do have the amazing Dr. G joining us shortly after the break. So we're going to leave you with some music. And when we come back, Dr. G joins us. Here we go.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. They're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. A knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land to sell or trade. No, don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land in the first place. We can get on that train, head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming, well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming just the same.
Welcome back from the break, ladies and gents. That, of course, was none other than the amazing... Why am I hearing myself back? Like, why am I hearing myself back? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, that was the amazing Amanda Barrick with Wastelands. Her debut album came out July 31st, and it's amazing. It's available on all the amazing, like, music streaming services. Go out, check it out, do what you gotta do. Right now, we're welcoming back, of course, our amazing... Dr. G, who always joins us once a month to talk about our Tales from the Tail, which is obviously
buttholes.
Yeah. And that's all, it's amazing. And so during the break, we were watching.
Is your butthole amazing?
It is. Wouldn't you like to get your hands on it, buddy? So And actually, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but that's a story for another time.
Oh my god!
So, so one of the amazing things that I was watching while we were on break was his journey through his entire house, right, running all the way around, and of course, leave it to the amazing butt doctor. To the amazing Dr. G, to have raw wood outlining all of his openings. Awesome.
I went into one room and the nanny was cleaning that room. And then I was like, oh, shit, I need to go to the other room. And then I went and then Andy and our friend were there. And then the kids are in the other room. And I just like, I got to, fuck, where am I going?
Are you in the bathroom right now?
No. I'm not in the bathroom. I'm in my room.
So, okay. So all I have to say is you have a very lovely home, and there's a lot of raw wood elements all over the place, and it's just fitting.
And I'm going to move it.
Raw. All into raw.
Yeah, it was just divine. Like, seriously, like, I am all about the woods, but it was all divine. Dr. G, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are wonderful. I mean, I think we are. You know, we're in the midst. We're on election eve.
I don't know. It's just fucking.
It's just insane, isn't it?
It's just insane. I've never been a part of something like this. And then, like, either way, it's going to be a shit show.
Right.
Either way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's talk about ass. What are we talking
let's
about
today? Let's talk about ass. So today we're going to be talking about, which I thought is what we're talking about, is enemas and how often should one have or use enemas in preparation for sex or even, you know, throughout your
surgery,
non-sexual life, etc. So why don't you tee us up, let us know, and then we'll move into our conversation. As we
always
do.
I think one of the misconceptions that a lot of people think is one that an enema is the same as douching. And that's where we need to kind of clarify. Yes, you can use an enema for douching, right? Some people use enemas. Some people use water. Some people use a shower hose. Others use Future Method, and we'll talk about that. But let's just talk from an enema perspective. An enema is actually a broad term where you're inserting various types of solution inside the rectum and the colon for other reasons. Some of them being like, I need to get a colonoscopy, or I need to do what's called a sigmoidoscopy, or I need surgery, or I'm constipated and I'm having issues associated with that. It really shouldn't be used on a like couple of times a week situation from a bottoming perspective. The solutions that are in there, whether it's saline, whether it's mineral oils, whether it's medicated, all of these types of enemas, what they're doing is they're really trying to draw water into your bowels so that now your shit can get full of water so that you're able to go to the bathroom and completely evacuate the stool. So I think of it more as being used as a therapeutic perspective really inciting a douching component. Does that make sense?
Right. It does. Yeah. And that's what laxatives do, right? They pull water.
Same exact thing.
I wasn't really sure. Like, I didn't know that there was, you know, an enema or – but obviously we're going to learn about
– You didn't know?
Well, I didn't know that for example, an enema couldn't be used to just clean your butthole before you had sex. And so, like you said, there's a misconception that people think that enemas and something like, for example, Future Method are one and the same, and they're not.
Correct. So like when I first started practice, I started to see people coming to me with douching issues where over douching, they're using way too much volume. They're doing it way too many times. And you can take a look inside and you see people coming to me with STDs or new onset HIV or irritation, anal warts, all of these certain things that can come from douching. And when I started to ask people, well, why are you doing X, Y, and Z? And we started to look at people's habits from a cleaning perspective. I started to say, okay, well, what are you using? And some of them are saying, oh, I use tap water in a bulb. Or others are saying, I use an enema a couple of times a week. And as we started to dissect people's habits, you're able to start seeing that there's clearly a link towards altering the microbiome, your normal flora. A lot of issues happen from that. And then I started to dissect and say, okay, well, how do we find out what is safe and what is not? And clearly enemas are not safe for daily use.
So now, when you say that enemas aren't safe, why is it that you find people have higher STD rates or irritation when they're using an enema versus future method?
Yeah, so when you think of enemas or you think of water, you have to think of two ends of the spectrum. So one is what's called hypoosmolar, the other is hyperosmolar. And they're very similar. What they're doing is they're either drawing the water out of a cell in your ass, mm-hmm. or they're actually putting so much water into the cell that the cell bursts. The concept is the same. Inside of our ass are cells, and they protect us. Those cells have a protective lining and a protective layer. So if you're going to the bathroom or you're pushing or there's bacteria, that you're not having issues happen. If you're using water or you're using an enema type solution, you're basically irritating those cells. So you're washing off the protective layer, and then those cells that are there are so irritated from the concentrated solution in the enema where now the cells become so raw, even before you have sex, now you have sex with a raw internal canal, and now the transmission of issues happen. The thing that I see all the time is you can't feel it. So when people say, well, I'm not harming myself, he's like, well, yeah, the sensations in there are not sensed by you. You're not going to be able to tell that there's irritation. But I can look inside and I can take pictures and I can show you that someone that's coming with post-douching or post-issues, you could see the walls are quite irritated. Mm-hmm. And there's a constant flux of issues that are happening from the way that people are over-douching.
Not to mention, though, like when you think about, for example, people who have like these attachments on their shower and yeah. they're using water that's one, chlorinated, not pH balanced, inserting it into themselves, then extricating all of that excess, whatever it is that they thought they got rid of. Because you never know. You know, people stick things up their butt. It happens. So you have all of these untested, unproven substances that are going into your body in a place where typically things would come out of your body.
Correct.
And so if you're using something that's not, for example, like Future Method, that's pH balanced, that is designed to cleanse in an instant so that you could prepare yourself to have sexual intercourse, anal sexual intercourse with your partner, it could potentially harm you because, for example, it's not a saline solution. It's not water that's been purified. You could have external components that could live in pipes, you know, for example, like lead, copper, all these other things that are now being inserted into your body that have no business being there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I work very closely with a couple of really great scientists that help us on the Future Method side. And it's interesting when you look at the data, like if we were to do a microbiology swab in your ass, or we do a stool study, you're able to tell the difference between someone that douches and someone that doesn't. And the reason is there's an overgrowth of this bacteria that we'll define as a bad bacteria. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that bacteria causes so much issues for a higher propensity for problems. And so when you look at douching and you look at the way people have been doing it for so long, I understand why everybody's doing it. We all want to be clean. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. the phobias that we put on ourselves and the stigmas from a community perspective
right.
are enormous. I think that people don't understand anatomy and understand their own bowel habits to for you to really understand that 9 times out of 10, you're actually going to be clean. And so less is more with right. everything that we're doing. The impetus of Future Method was to say, okay, well, if nobody's going to create something that is not going to be harmful, then I'm going to create that. Because at the end of the day, we want you to live the life that you want, and we want you to clean in a way that makes you happy. But I'm trying to give you a solution that's not toxic, that's pH balanced, that's not going to irritate the lining like water or an enema. And I'm also trying to give you an understanding of the anatomy with the education so that you understand that less is more. Our bulbs are smaller for a reason. Why? Because I don't want you to overdouche. I want you to understand that actually the rectum is really where cock is going. And that is 9 times out of 10 is clean. So all of these things have brought us into, and I say all the time, like, of course I want to sell products just like anything else. But at the end of the day, the goal wasn't that. It was all about how do we educate people that there's clearly an issue. And now how do we tackle education in a way that now people can rationalize how they're doing this and start figuring out how do we kind of look at this? How do you eat? What are your diet? Can you add fiber? What are other things that we can do to get you the cleanliness that you want? But now think about it in a way of cleansing instead of enema or douching.
So let's talk a little bit about the risk of not using something that is specifically made pH balance, et cetera, for example, like Future Method. What are the risks when you overdouche and now you're engaging sexually?
Like, what is overdouching, right? Like how, if I were not using Future Method and I was using a Fleet's enema, how many times a week could I use it? How many times a month could I use it versus Future Method?
It's super hard to know because everybody's obviously body is very, very right. different. But when I think of someone that's like, you know, the average sex is 1 to 2 times a week from a bottoming's perspective. And so if you think of that and you say, okay, now if I'm using something, let's say before I have sex, I'm using 2 to 3 enema bowls to clean myself out 2 times a week. You're talking about a considerable amount of irritation that can happen. Now, when you look at that, you're washing off the mucus and the area that is there for a reason. So now you start becoming very, very dry. You also produce much more mucus. So a lot of people, when they're like coming out their ass and they're like, oh, it's amazing. It looks so beautiful. A lot of that is actually you're overdouching. And your body is trying to compensate by putting more mucus out there to protect you. And so the dryness, the over mucus, the change in the good bacteria, now all of that causes so much irritation that micro cuts are happening. And that is where I think HIV and STDs come about. Yes, sex itself is traumatic and there's force, but because it's so raw inside and most of us aren't using protection, the reality is like it's a nidus for infection. Right, it's basically, right. Let's say you have a cut on your hand and that cut is an open sore, right? And you just go out in the yard and do your yard work and all that shit is getting into that open sore. It's the same concept. And so the issue is trying to look at your habits and figuring out how do we start minimizing how much douching you're going to do? And how do we support that in a way that is now going to mitigate that? And it's also probiotic work. It's also fiber work. There's a lot of things that we're doing in Future Method that you'll see over the next couple of months that I'm so excited about because it's starting to think about sex differently. It's starting to look at our community and really break down not be stigmatizing, not be judgmental, but to really analyze all of these specific communities and figure out, hey, you love getting fucked in the ass like that. I'm so happy for you. How do we now make sure it's as safe as possible for you and everybody else. And with that said, the first step is in the preparation of what we're all doing and trying to figure out, how do we make less is more? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. And see, this is what I love about the work that you do for our community, right? And, you know, one of the things that I admire the most about you is the fact that you understand that people will inherently take risk and do things that sometimes other people don't think they should do, but that's not what you're here for. You're not here to judge your patients. You're not here to say you shouldn't do that. If you're going to do that, you're an adult. You can make that decision for yourself. My job on this end of the spectrum is to make sure that you could do it as safely as possible. And I'm going to provide you with solutions and tools for you to be able to do that, and minimizing the risk and also minimizing the possibility of you hurting yourself in the process. I've always admired the fact that that is what Bespoke Surgical does, right? You really take the time to learn about your patients, and you're not passing judgment. You're just giving them basically, here's what I think you should do. Take it with a grain of salt, but you know, if you do this, you might experience this. How do I rectify that? And right. You're actively working with the community and finding different ways to work with people and their different habits.
I don't want to cut you off, but I'm right. going to. I love you.
Do it.
So I'm an advocate for Future Method. I use it. I love it. Now, as a bottom, we all know on the show I'm a bottom. Okay, mm-hmm. whatever. But as a bottom, I'm always going to probably douche or clean out in some way prior. If I was using, so I'm in a relationship, I'm having sex all the time. Can I use it every day?
Yes, you can. I think the key component first that I always tell everybody is how do we heal health to gut and whole body health? And with that being said, it's how do I make sure that you're eating well? How do I make sure you're exercising? How do we add fiber and probiotics into the mix to start to look at your habits and start figuring out how we can minimize as much douching as needed? Okay. And that is where a lot of people are using, let's say, bigger bulbs, or they're doing like 3 to 4 times using a bulb to clean out. And what you're doing is you're actually causing more harm than good, not only from stripping and lining and all that stuff we spoke about, but you're also distending and you're going way higher than you actually need to be. So I tell people all the time, first of all, before you douche, put a toy and show that 9 times out of 10, you're actually going to be super clean. So start like
analyzing. And if you're not, then you should see Dr. G, correct?
Yeah. Well, I think that the key component is, you know, look, if I'm having Taco Tuesday, I know that on Wednesday it may not be the best day for me to be bottoming, right? So you have to start kind of analyzing and figuring out what works for you and how you're best going to do it. But I also think understanding your anatomy is key, where you're now realizing that where cock is going is not very far. And that notoriously is very clean. I got to tell you, I see a lot of ass every day and in the operating room. I don't tell people to give themselves an enema before they come and see me. I don't tell people to give me an enema before I do surgery.
Well, why? God, I hope they don't give you an enema.
I mean, no, take them to give themselves an enema. Why? Well, because the shit is way higher. It's not coming into my surgical field. With that being said, it's a toy on your own. Don't douche. Clean yourself out. Don't. Just use the toy and see that you're actually clean. Mm-hmm. If you're not, then okay, how do I now minimize that? And that's why we went to smaller bags, smaller bulbs, trying to get people to say, okay, you know what? Less actually is more. And you start to kind of create a bottoming diary of like what works and what doesn't, and what time of day is better to do the fiber and all this type of stuff. The key for me is if you're going to be douching and you're the type of person that says, hey, I'm having sex 2 to 3 times a week and I'm going to douche every single time before that, then I think the key is, okay, how do I now give you a substance that's not going to be toxic, that you can do as much as you want? How do I now try to minimize as much of, as you're doing that, less times, understanding that anatomy? And then how do we work together to serially follow that up by me taking a look, doing swabs, seeing what's going on internally to make sure that we're not having an issue with HPV or STDs or other stuff like that?
You know, it's weird that well, not weird, but it's funny that most of us like always associate our butthole with feces, etc., because obviously that's one of the main function that is the main function of the butthole is to get rid of all that crap. But I would have never thought to actually insert something, a toy, into my butthole to find out whether or not I needed to douche. And I think that that's fantastic because it gives some, it can actually allow you to gauge before you even decide that you need to douche whether or not it's even needed.
I think a couple of things with it, which I really love, is first off, yes, that's number one. Number two is if you use a toy after you douche, one, you could check to make sure that you're still clean, right? Also, you're getting rid of any of the extra water or douche material that you're using. A lot of people, it'll get stuck in the folds in the rectum or up a little bit higher. Some people say that like if you're douching too close to sex, that it can get really wet and a little bit messy, right? Because things aren't absorbed there. And with that being said, if you're using a toy right after, it'll get rid of any of the extra liquid that's there. Also, I love using a toy because I think it'll pre-dilate you. Mm-hmm. It'll also pre-lubricate you. So not only are you using it in a way that's going to make sure you're clean and any residual, but you're now using it as a preemptive tool to get you to bottoming better.
Right. And safely too, where you don't harm yourself. Like, let's say, for example, you're meeting someone who's anonymous and you've never met this person before, and you arrive and the fucker has like a 13-inch cock and you weren't expecting to be slammed by a 13-inch cock, then by pre-dilating, you could potentially like have a better experience with a massive... Right, but you know, it just...
So I have...
It helps so much on that, on the insertion, right?
Right.
Listen, the insertion is just like taking off and landing for a plane.
Right.
That's the hardest part, right? When you think of, you know, the landing and the takeoff from a pilot's perspective, that's when they're really working, right? Not when they're flying the plane. It's the same concept. The entry into the ass is where the trauma always happens. And with that being said, as a bottom, you should start to say, okay, how am I going to minimize all of that trauma? And that is pre-dilating, pre-lubricating, bringing toys into your sex play so that you guys are working, doing a lot of foreplay, and really starting to take control until the landing has been successful.
Right.
And then you can kind of play around and do what you need to.
Because once it's in, it's smooth sailing. You know,
depends. Depends. So two quick things. One, I want to go back a little bit to laxatives.
Yeah.
So if somebody is not douching, but they are using laxatives, what is that actually doing to your body? And like, how does that affect your anal cavity during sex?
Yeah. So chronic laxative use, basically a lot of people use as a form of like anorexia and weight issues, right? Because what it's doing is it's preventing absorption. So what's happening is that when you're using a laxative, it's not only just, it's keeping all the fats and everything into the stool instead of it being absorbed into your body. And what that's doing is it's basically propelling it all the way down to the point where now, boom, there you go. You go to the bathroom and you clean yourself out. With that being said, a lot of laxative use actually gives you diarrhea. Mm-hmm. And when it gives you diarrhea, you're actually leaving residual shit in your ass because it's so stringy and it's so loose that it basically coats the walls. So I would say to you, I always tell people the other way. You want to do fiber, like shitting like a dog. The dog shits beautifully, never wipes its ass because it doesn't need to. It comes out in one full piece, and it basically pulls all the shit from the walls, and you shit it out perfectly. So laxative use for me, I'm not like a huge like, hey, this is what you want to do. Now, there are some people that do it because they're into fisting and bigger toys where they need to get everything fully out. And they're doing it like a couple of days before they're engaging in this so that they are able to, or they go into a liquid diet to then make sure that they're completely removing everything. I think that I don't love laxative work. If you're going to do something, you could do like a suppository, like a glycerin suppository that makes you go to the bathroom and works locally. That's why enemas for constipation are really great. And that's the first line of treatment because it's happening all in the area where it needs to. It's not fucking with the GI system. And then your metabolites are all fucked up. Your nutrients aren't being absorbed. And if you're doing it in a chronic perspective, it could really fuck you up.
Wow. Okay. That's incredible.
Good to know because I love my laxatives. Anyway, last but not least, I want to talk about the butt and body scrub.
Yeah,
and, let's do it. And like how amazing it is and why it's important to exfoliate your butthole.
Yeah, well, do you exfoliate your face?
I mean, yes.
She pounds it every morning. I would hope that she does.
Like this?
Yeah, she like, you know, smacks it on. And
no, she's talking about my makeup.
Yeah. Well, it's really not makeup. It's just color corrector, as she calls it.
Oh, I get it. That's the, like Dior and Chanel. Everybody's getting into it. It's like all the boy stuff, right?
Yeah,
right.
I mean, men can wear lotion.
No shaming.
With SPF 50. Yeah, that totally is a color corrector for your skin. Men absolutely should do it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm not shaming. I just because, you know.
No, but I don't exfoliate my face because I have such sensitive skin. If I did, I would like break out in like rosacea or right, whatever. But I want to
I noticed that so many people spend so much time on their face and they don't spend so much time on the ass.
On the other face.
On the other face, on the better face, right? With that being said, I think that look, I'm into ass, right? I can go diving down there and I absolutely love it, right? With that being said, you know, it needs to be fresh. It needs to be smell really great. It needs to be appetizing. And the only way to really get that is to really pay attention to the area. When is there too much moisture? When, you know, how are you cleaning it? What are you doing? Are you using wet wipes, which you shouldn't? Are you doing a bidet? What are the local things that people are doing from a quality of life and a daily life perspective? And then a lot of those actually alter anal issues. So you start to see people with similar, where they're getting irritation anally, they're getting bacterial infections, they're kind of changing the microbiome. And you're seeing that we're talking about a lot of the same stuff, whether people are douching or incorrectly treating anally. Now, a lot of this was from most people are still using silicone lube, which I still am a huge proponent of for pure anal. But if you've ever bottomed or used silicone lube, it gets all over the place and it takes a long time to get off.
It's like a slip and slide.
Exactly. And then you're in the shower and you're like, oh my God, is it still there?
You're trying to open the front door to get him out and you can't.
Exactly. I know your Uber was out there, but I can't get the door open.
It's too much.
Sorry.
So with that being said, I was looking at a lot of the scrubs that were out there, and I realized that from a functional perspective of how they're dispensing it to what the actual active ingredients are really not appropriate for the anal region. And also, we have a dual system. There are two different size particles in here. And one is for that excrement that happens, right? Cum, mucus, lube. You need something, not that it's abrasive, but you need something with a little bit more particles to get rid of that in a really, really great way. And then also, obviously, to now have something that nourishes and soothes and keeps the microbiome exactly where we need to be. Obviously, it's a delicate area and it needs to be treated as such, similar to our face. And also, I love scent, but I also want to make sure that it's not a scent that's going to be irritating. And so there's certain scents that we love, like citrus and clove and cedar, that I put in there, but are able to be, that are really not set a sensitive issue. They're really great from an exfoliating perspective. It's desirable. It keeps you sexy and smelling great, but it actually takes care of everything so that now all the dead skin, all the excrement, all of that lingering body fluid and lube is now rid, and it's a much healthier environment so that you can use it as a daily cleanser, or some people do it before they're having sex, or even obviously after sex. And so the key is to kind of provide enough nutrients and support to that area so that you can now get yourself to bottoming as much as you are.
So you can straight up use this on your butthole.
You can straight up use it on your hole. You could do it on your entire body. I do it everywhere because I absolutely love it. It's the sense that I love from a licking perspective. Wink, 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 wink.
Andy.
I mean, it's great, right? Because, you know, provided that your one night stand or whoever the person you're engaging with allows you to shower, you can really just go into the shower and avoid having to walk like 90 Manhattan blocks with like a wad of fucking load up your ass, like creeping out. And, you know, then you'll be fine. You know, you can clean out a little bit and you're moisturized and well taken care of. And then when you get home, you can finish the rest.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of people, we're trying to create an understanding of how do you prepare for sex, how do you engage sexually, and then how do you do aftercare, right? All of those three facets of kind of our business model and exactly where we are. Now, with that being said, when you're preparing, most people are going to douche, are going to shower. And so how do we now start to put products into that routine that are going to be safe and healthy but effective for what you want to do?
Right.
And that's where, again, from a toy and a lube and a pre-dilating and all of that. And that's the model of Future Method, which is how do we really start to look at our community's practices and start putting in products that are going to be healthy and support us, but also obviously not stigmatizing and really walking away from the traditional world. It's so funny. Today I was on CNN and I was looking. Dr. Ruth was being interviewed by Anderson Cooper about COVID sex. And I sent it to my PR team because I said, God, we haven't changed in fucking 50 goddamn years. Here she is. She must be like 90 or whatever it is. And Anderson's asking her questions. And he's like, well, how are you safe? And she's like, you know, you got to be really safe. You got to be really safe in this COVID era. Just like before, I would tell people, if you are going to hook up, make sure you use contraceptives.
Well,
why aren't you on CNN?
Exactly. That was going to be my question.
I said, what good does that do? And let alone in our gay community, almost 90% of people don't use condoms. Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do. There's so many other ways that you can engage sexually where you don't even need to be penetrative. What about all the other things that we are doing as a community? How are we pulling in COVID into everything else? And you say it's such a waste of fucking time and energy. And why aren't they doing things that are going to actually be beneficial to the community? And let alone Anderson. You know, come on, bud.
I know.
We know you take it up the ass, so why aren't you being a part of the part of this?
So we're going to start a hashtag, and it's going to be hashtag get Dr. G on AC.
No, but honestly, though, like now that you brought that up, and I know we have to let you go soon, but what would, if you were in that situation, what would you have said? Like, there really is no safe way to have sex during this COVID pandemic, right? But people are going to do it. And I know that we have joked about fucking from behind, wearing a condom, and wearing a mask during
it. Or sticking your butt through a window.
Right. But, like, what would you have actually said to him during.
I would have said that you and I both know that in our community, there is risk in everything we do every single day. And that is even before COVID, when you look at STDs and HIV and every hookup that both me and you have ever had, there is risk associated.
Right.
And so the key component in this COVID era is to analyze all of your risk, knowing that your sexual desires are going to win. And so if your sexual desires are going to win and you are going to engage, which most of us are, how are we now going to look at your life and figure out how to mitigate your risk? Mm-hmm. Are you someone that's going to say, I want to hook up with you, but can we get a COVID test 2 days before our engagement? Is it going to be, I'm only going to do certain acts in a safer way? Is it going to be that I don't give a fuck and I'm going to fuck everybody like I normally do, but I'll come to your office every other week and get a full STD panel and a COVID screening? I think there's no right answer other than highlighting all the different facets to risk that have always been there.
And also acknowledging who you are and knowing, like for me, for example, I would be like, no, this is what I need. And if you can't give that to me, then we can't do this.
Right. Yes. And I think that now, when you go out to dinner and you now are asking somebody, do you feel comfortable eating inside or do you want to eat outside? You need to be you. I'm fine eating inside, but if you're not, you need to say, hey, you know what? I don't feel comfortable. Can we do this? Right. And it's the same concept from a sex perspective. You need to own who the fuck you are, and then you need to then say, okay, now that I own it, how am I going to now mitigate as much risk as possible? Mm-hmm. But to just say, wear a condom. I mean, come on, bro. I mean, who does that?
Well, it's condom's like, not going to protect you from kissing someone and getting COVID. It's an airborne disease.
Of course. That's why it was like the stupidest interview. And I just was like, this is crazy that we're not talking about. And that's why I love you guys. And I love, you know, so many of these forums of just talking real. Like stop this like nonsense of like, this is not happening in our world. No. It's happening everywhere, and it even happens on both sides, the Democrat and the Republican side. Mm-hmm. The reality is how are we now going to be bipartisan in this and really look at the real world and just be real and make it an appropriate space for people to have answers instead of walking away from these things with more questions. It just sucked. I was so pissed.
And you know what it is? The truth of the matter is that it's network television. They're not ready for you, Dr. G. They're not ready. They're not ready for your realness.
I can curtail and I could be really super professional to talk about all different communities and the right way to engage and looking at risk. But it's mind-boggling to me that still 2020 and you can't talk about sex in a way that's actually going to be beneficial for people. It's sad. It's so sad.
And especially from an openly out gay male that knows what the community is like.
Totally. Totally.
Right. So, Dr. G, it's been an amazing conversation. A lot of eye-opening things. I didn't know that you could, you know, use a toy to sort of kind of gauge whether you were clean or not. But now we do.
And I can't wait to try the body scrub / booty scrub.
What she's saying is send her one.
Yeah.
That's what she's saying.
Uh-huh. I will send you. I'll send you two. What are you
Christmas
about?
Is right around the corner. That's what she's saying. No, but seriously, I appreciate the fact that, you know, you're always so real with us, right? Our listeners appreciate the fact that you're always so real with us because that's what we expect. That's what we want from our doctors.
Wasn't it last week somebody actually reached out and they were like, you didn't put his contact information. We need it.
So we do the video version of the show for our Patreon subscribers. And then like 2 weeks later or so, I release it to the public. I make it public so everyone else can see it later on. One of our listeners actually went on one of the episodes and says, can you title the episodes when Dr. G comes on so that I know when it's happening and I can just listen to the episode? Because on YouTube, we don't put the episode title. We just do episode 1, 237.
Did you change it?
We started changing it. So because of you, and as of that date, every episode gets a title now the very next day once the video is published. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, anybody that's listening, like we say all the time, DM us, engage with us, whatever topics you guys specifically want to talk about. You know, we're just kind of putting in topics that I think are really important for the community, but we're open for many, many suggestions and whatever works. And, you know, maybe we should even do like people call in or something like that. Maybe that would be fun. Can we, do we have the capacity to do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
We have a phone. We have all the stuff. So we can have them Skype in. We can do all of that stuff. So
that would be cool. Yeah, to get people more engaged and go from there. But I appreciate you both.
We love you.
Like always, we love you, darling. You know,
and keep rocking and enjoy and good luck, and everybody good luck tomorrow. It should be interesting.
Right. So vote.
I mean, because if you feel like you want to, call us tomorrow because we're going to be doing an election episode.
So. We are. And take Phoenix with you. I feel like that young man is going to be amazing.
Maybe he can just call in.
Like, seriously.
I'll tell Phoenix to just give a call in.
Give him the number 334 Gay Talk.
All right, I love you guys. All take care.
Thank you, Dr. G.
A pleasure. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gents, that's the amazing Dr. G. He is incredible. Mm-hmm. I freaking love the man. He's real. And often when you engage with a doctor, like if he lived closer, like he would totally be my doctor. And
100%, yeah.
Like seriously, if he was here in New Haven, he would be my I would go to the office when I didn't have an issue. Just to sort of kind of shoot the shit, because he is that personable and that amazing, and he just makes everyone feel like, you know what, don't be ashamed and mm-hmm. own who you are.
Yeah, and I've been to his office in New York a couple times, and every time I've gone, I felt so comfortable, even though I was there for, different, not because of my butthole, I should have been there for my butthole, but I was there to talk to him about different things.
Right.
But every time I was there, they made me feel super comfortable, like I didn't feel awkward at all. And then you get pulled into his office and you're like, damn.
Bend over, finger coming through. No, I'm kidding. All right, well, listen, guys, it's been an amazing show, an amazing conversation with Dr. G. We've got two more things that we want, well, actually three more things that we want to cover with you before we let you go. It was going to be, well, we were aiming for a shorter show today because we are going to be on the air tomorrow covering the election episode. So why don't we jump right into Mama Kim's Minute?
All right, everybody. So here is Mama Kim's Minute. Number one, MAGA, Trump trains jam roadways in several states, which we talked about.
Boo!
Two, meet Olivia Reisner, Joe Biden's out-gay traveling digital director. Number three, after decades of progress, LGBTQ equality is under attack. Let's fix that.
We should.
Number four, Biden vows to pass Equality Act in the first 100 days, but there's a catch.
So all those stories will be available in tonight's post. You can click on them, read on them, learn more about them. It'll be amazing. So our Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com is Felicia, because I want to say bye, Felicia, to goddamn Donald Trump.
I hope.
Felicia. So Felicia is the gay nickname for Felix. We call her Felicia.
Bye, Felicia. Bye, Felix. I always say Felipe. I don't know where I got Felipe from, but that's what I do. All right, well, ladies and gents, on this day in gay history, it wasn't one of our, I would say, more happier ones, but it happened. Voters in 11 U.S. states backed a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. When? It happened on November 2nd in 2004. Where? In the U.S. of the motherfucking A. Citizens in Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Michigan, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Utah vote to constitutionally ban same-sex marriage. Fuck y'all. And 16 years later, we had marriage equality. Well, actually 11 years later, mm-hmm. right? 2005, 2015, 11 years later.
So I thought it was important to put that in there today. Right. I know it's a little downer, but
it's true.
If we lose national same-sex marriage, then it will go to the states again.
Right.
And then you have states like these who have already banned it constitutionally.
Well, 34 states already are on the books as
34 out of 50.
Right.
But the reality is it'll go back to the states. So those 34, you're fine. but everywhere else you're not.
Well, actually, those 34, you could potentially still be at risk because mm-hmm. they could,
true.
As a matter of legislative efforts internally at the state level, overturn mm-hmm. marriage equality. So yep. there's a lot of risk. There's a lot of risk.
All right. Well,
so, ladies and gents, I want to thank you all so much for joining us today. If you love the show, make sure that you go rate, subscribe, and review our show on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your web browser or your device as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a monetary donation, which we collect monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. And because Chris is not here tonight, next week we are super excited to welcome, of course, the one and only Patrick Dunn, who is the executive director of the New Haven Pride Center, to chat about all the upcoming events for November surrounding the Trans Awareness and World AIDS Day. I am excited. I haven't seen Patrick in a while, mm-hmm. and I love the man. What an amazing work. The amazing work that that team is doing at that mm-hmm. Pride Center is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, they're doing great work. And I'm so happy to be on the board because I know all about it and you will next week. All right. So thank you to our guest, Dr. G. We love you. Don't forget to get your body/booty scrub at futuremethod.com and also get your discount today for the Future Method. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per person. Shall we put more than a rubber on this?
Let's put a rubber, a dental dam, a couple of douches, a couple of future method
I'm
bags,
a body scrub this one.
And a nice big bulb.
All right. So our show is available on on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcasts. It's also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio. You can find us on social media. I almost ran out of breath there. You can find us on social media, Facebook, gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, gaytalk 2.0, Twitter at gaytalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gaytalk20.com.
That's right.
You changed it on me.
It's our actual pro email, so...
Yeah, but you can't just, do that.
I told you I was going to do it.
Yeah, but I wasn't ready for it.
Well, now you are. So it's GayTalk 2.0 at GayTalk20.com. Ladies and gents, if you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, you can submit a question for the cast or an individual host, or you can call us by calling 334-GAY-TALK. The number is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Tomorrow we're going to be doing the election episode, so please make sure that you tune in live. You can go to gaytalk20.com or you can go to digitalstreamradio.com. We're going to be posting information on our Facebook page, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. And get to sit here with the boys and see what happens on Election Day. So with that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.